quite simply, I feel that when you have a writer, a broadcaster, and a psychotherapist, you should have a full crowd reaction which shouts with joy and happiness when we say the magical words, Lucy Beresford is back with us. Yes.
Is that what that was? That was a crowd.
It was. Listen to the band, you know, as we say.
I thought it was hitting at the end of my line. I thought my line was being funny.
Oh, please, Lucy. We're going to have to sort these digital scenarios out, for goodness sakes.
Ah,
bless.
I've heard of them.
They're marvellous. So you say, we'll send you off to sirenonline.co.uk and you can listen to the whole of the package, etc. Do you know, it seems like only yesterday when we were talking about a new series which was launching in the British Isles about police and various other factors, etc. Since then, of course, you know, you've become legendary in so many ways, the official agony aunt for Psychology's magazine. I mean, what have you been doing over the summer, Lucy?
Well, I've been trying to write my second novel, which is set in India. So I was rather hoping for some sunny weather in the UK to get me in the mood, and of course that didn't really work. We've also had some building work going on. So if anybody does want to talk to me about stress, I have first-hand experience of trying to cope with writing while someone is banging six bells out of the room next door.
Do you know, we're in a studio where somebody is actually just building a full media thing called MACE, the Media Archive for Central England, and we've had similar sort of challenges with respect to Siren. But we'll plug away and
challenges
continue.
Yes, that's what they are.
Exactly. Now, the reason we felt it was important that you joined us again was because we're getting to that time where, obviously, the new academic year is about to start, and, obviously, children are going back to school and a whole variety of other bits and pieces. People are still struggling to get some of their essays done, etc. No names, Jodie. But if you'd like to just sort of, you know, seek some help. I mean, the one great thing about Lucy is not only is she just a wondrous individual, she gives such sage advice as well. So, Jodie, over to you.
Hi, Lucy.
Hello, Jodie.
Hello. Yes, obviously, as Alex said, I still have some outstanding essays from my second year.
So that's even after our last conversation, or the last
incident. Yeah, I know.
I think I do need a bit of psychotherapy, whatever that is. Perhaps you could explain to us what exactly psychotherapy involves.
Well, psychology in general is exploring the science of the mind. And psychotherapy takes a lot of that learning and applies it in a very specific way to engage in a sort of one-to-one conversation, patient and therapist, client and therapist, to try and explore what's going on for a patient, what issues they're struggling with, or what patterns of behaviour they find they're repeating. And my particular form of therapy does look back at childhood. It tends to suppose that most of the things that we're grappling with in the present have an echo from the past. So it's about trying to understand yourself, trying to make a few changes here and there, and hopefully leading a fulfilled life.
Simples.
Exactly. Why aren't we all doing it?
Yes. It's so true. I mean, I do like the sort of life, love, and cupcakes approach that you actually give as well, because it just keeps me going. I noticed that the 20th of August we have Lucy Beresford, Renaissance psychotherapist. This is in case people actually sort of say, yes, we want to do. So here's the other Lucy. Of course, Lucy Beresford with some premier thoughts, etc. I'm still working on the strap line for today's little piece when we put that up as a podcast, Lucy, but it will be inevitably sort of top class material because I mean, a lot of folk would also say, how do you actually manage to cope with obviously being an author, being a kind of critique of a whole variety of other bits and pieces, being an actress, you know, developing these kind of things? Is it simply a case of just work on your organisational skills, or is it a case of you focus on the end product and let the cursed hows begin to sort themselves out?
I have to say that it does tend to rely on me being a bit disciplined, almost to a ruthless degree. I'm not going to say that I don't have fun, but I do. I'm very focused on the things that I have to do in any given day. To-do lists are just brilliant. I happen to be a to-do list type person, and not everybody is, but it's so satisfying to have a list of things to do at the beginning of the day and then to tick them off, even if they are just simply things like, you know, buy stamp for letter. They're still tasks that have got to be got out of the way. And once you've got those out of the way, you can concentrate on the really big stuff.
See, it just works so wonderfully. Now, also in the studio, we have from Fuoto, which is a town in southeastern China.
Yeah.
God, I didn't say Japan. I was very close to saying Japan. etc. We have Fen Reina Chen. Fen, when you've got somebody like Lucy who's clearly developed a whole range. She's a regular contributor to a variety of British media folks. I'm looking at her, say, at her Twitter feed at present, with too late to stop the air holiday misery for some, but it seems there is a quicker way to board planes, etc. Your blog reviews of the latest, I say the latest, hopefully the end of the London riots, but it's quite nice to actually work through that. Fascinated with that. Fenn, do you have sort of media pundits in China who will sort of, you know, go on and say this is how you should actually live your life, or do you feel, being Chinese, you have a well balanced approach to life in any case?
I think our technology is not doing as well like in UK, so we just most of the thing we just watching the telly.
There we are, Lucy. Just watch the telly. It's quite simple.
Tell you all you need to know.
And most of people do, just watch the telly. The website is not to improve very well, not to update every day.
In terms of a life philosophy, though, I mean, clearly, do you have a philosophy? Because, I mean, I always sense, I mean, Lucy, you were saying you were in India recently, you were focusing on that. It's a theme from that point of view. Oft times we in the West in particular, I think, feel as though we've just lost the plot somehow.
Yes, I mean, I think there are certain cultures that, because their focus is very different, they appear to have perhaps more fulfilled lives. Scratch beneath the surface, and that isn't always the case, but I think it's worthwhile exploring other opportunities and other ways of doing things, simply because the way that we have been doing things might not be the only way, it might not be the most appropriate way. What works for one person doesn't always work for someone else. And so I think, you know, it's a big wide world out there, and there is, certainly even through the internet, you don't have to pay money and get on a plane to go to these places. You can find out quite a lot online, or just by listening to the radio. Find out about the world around you, and I think it can give us some sort of life lessons.
The Times, Sunday Telegraph, New Statesman, The Spectator, just four august publications that you're regularly contributing to from that point of view. Jodie's also looking to develop her writing from that perspective, so I'll ask it on her behalf. I mean, again, in terms of coordinating that, do you feel as though you have a different register for whether you're writing for, say, The Spectator as to when you're writing for the Sunday Telegraph? Or is it just a case of, no, I channel genius and it just happens, it manifests itself?
Yeah, that's the kind of thing I think day as I'm cleaning my teeth, if only. I am quite mindful of, somewhere in the back of my mind, that there is a sort of different voice for some of these different publications. I don't know whether The Telegraph and The Spectator would class themselves as just right-wing publications and The New Statesman as left-wing. That's probably incredibly simplistic. But I think it is very important if you're seeking to write for a publication, perhaps if you're trying to pitch an idea or approach them for some freelance work or, you know, even a position, is to understand the voice that they are putting out, because each publication will be very proud of its voice, its very distinctive narrative that it's putting out there to consumers. So Psychology's magazine, where I'm an agony aunt, has a very different ethos and a very different way of looking at the world to The Spectator. And by reading these publications, you can really get under the skin of how they sound and the kinds of articles that they like to receive. And I think that's quite a useful exploration process to go through if you're actually thinking of writing for those publications.
Something I'm Not was the title of your first book, which actually went out and was launched into the whole routine to great acclaim. And I must admit, I feel very guilty, Lucy. I still haven't actually read the copy. I'll get it sorted out for your next visit on the whole thing. It's sorted through, definitely, on that one. Clearly, from that perspective, is it a case of, now we're looking at the difficult second album, is it the more challenging one? Is it a case of a different approach to things? How are you actually developing that next stage of the writing scenario?
It's definitely a case. I mean, the publishing industry is going through some wobbly times at the moment. High street bookstores feel very insecure. Online rivals are making the publishing industry exciting for consumers, but a bit nerve-wracking for publishers. And as a result, finding a second publisher for the second novel has been a bit of a slow process. It's now out there with publishers, so that's the most exciting thing I can say. So keep your fingers crossed for me on that one.
It'll happen. We're sending positive vibes down the line at this very moment.
Do
not mess with Lucy Beresford. It's important. We recognise the geniuses of the 21st century. That's my line.
Thank you. And it's also about a very lovely topic. It's sort of about food and relationships. So it seemed to have picked up quite a bit of interest in the publishers already. So I'm very, very excited. And the third novel that I'm writing is set in India. So that'll be completely different again. I haven't finished it yet, so I'm not quite sure how we will pitch it. But it's still, again, very much about sort of having a vision, having a package of what it is you're producing, to be able to sort of give it as a product to the publisher.
Couldn't quite appreciate recently the decision to actually change the title of West Bengal to a completely different name, to actually move it several notches up in the Indian sort of state legislature, which I think is quite curious, basically.
Yes, well, there are some very interesting political things happening in India. Well, there always are, but actually just at the moment, I think they're going through some quite interesting times. You're probably aware in America of the slut walk. Well, Delhi had its own slut walk. In fact, actually a couple of other cities had slut walks as well. So, you know, India is really exploring what it means to be India at the moment, which is incredibly thrilling.
And, of course, the cricketers are in dire need of psychotherapy, but that's a different line entirely.
Heaven's goodness, that's just beyond belief. Well, but, of course, as an English cricket fan's perspective, I'm quite...
Celebrate, exactly.
We're number one now, so I don't care.
Celebrate in all sorts of ways. Jodie, any other questions you'd like to put to you, to Lucy?
Yeah, I mean, obviously you do lots of different forms of writing, and you've said you have to be mindful of, what publication, that you're writing for. I mean, do you find it how different is it to be writing kind of perhaps factual things or advice to compare to writing fictional novels?
I would say that on some level there is a theme, which is that it's all analysis. You're analysing a situation, or you're analysing a character that you've created. And in my fiction reviewing, I'm actually analysing text. So on some level, there's a bit of a pattern there. But at the same time, I suppose I wear these different hats, psychotherapy and writing. And without really realising it, I guess I do slip into the therapy hat, and then when I'm writing fiction, I realise that I'm writing something very different, quite creative.
Are you always looking for your characters to actually tell you about their childhoods? Because that's always an interesting thing. You sort of write, it's a fictional character, so just tell me about your childhood. It's just a thought that...
God, that is an amazing question, because in a funny way, I think I do, without realising that I do it, because I think through my training... When you train, which is sort of like a 5 or 6 year process, you develop your own orientation. You start off learning about Freud, you start off learning about Jung, but then you learn about all sorts of other people. And over time, a style of therapy makes sense to you. And what makes most sense for me is the fact that things that happen to us in our childhood, the relationships that we have, shape us. And I think that what happens in the novels that I write, and actually sometimes the novels that I read, in the back of my mind, I think I am always trying to understand that person in terms of what has gone before. It doesn't have to be sort of very, very early childhood. It could be, a dramatic event that happened when they were 13, or a non-dramatic event that happened to them when they were 19. But we are all shaped by our experiences.
I'm reminded certainly of the recent Gemma Donoghue text, Room, a recent choice for one of our sister stations, South South Broadcasting's Book of the Month, which initially you think, I just don't know what we're going to get here, but it's quite a fascinating sort of snapshot of obviously a fictional setting, thankfully, but of a child and a mother who's kind of their first 5 years of their life, they're literally just in a room before they escape and so on. It's fascinating stuff. Did you find, Lucy, that doing a BA in English at Durham and then an MA in psychotherapy at City University London, that was a natural package that you sort of went and you thought, yes, I can see the connection here? Because oftentimes I'm asked, you started off by doing a degree in chemistry and biology, and now you're actually, then you did a postgraduate, an MA in media production, now you do lecturing in American studies and journalism and all sorts of other bits and pieces, community radio and so on. I mean, I can kind of see the connections. Do you often get people saying, but why did you switch from English to psychotherapy?
After my English degree, I went into the city for 10 years and worked in investment banking.
If that's not going to set you up for the need for psychotherapists to actually sort of develop, then yeah, it sums the whole thing through.
Yeah, right? It gave me lots of good material for my thesis. So in a way, going back to answering Jodie's question and believing that literature and therapy are very intertwined, for me, therapy was almost like coming back home, having had that sort of 10 years of wild behaviour in the city, or
Lucy, I said before, we don't have to talk about your lap dancing and pole dancing work. I mean, if you want to, that's fine. You can share it with us. I know that's okay, but really, I think the New Statesman might be just a wee bit surprised.
It might be a bit shocked. But obviously, my secret is now safe.
Of course. Exactly. Exactly. So there's a whole routine from that point of view. And just finally, to encapsulate the whole routine, for people who are feeling a little bit stressed, both from the parents' point of view and from the children's point of view, etc., I mean, a whole heap of stuff is actually hurled at higher education in terms of fees and do we pay them, do you not pay them, all the sorts of other bits and pieces. What sort of words of wisdom would you actually provide at this stage for somebody who might be sort of feeling the sort of stress about, you know, a life-changing time where they're maybe heading off to higher education, they may decide they want to put it off, who knows what they could be doing?
Well, I suppose I'm always beating the drum for planning in terms of focusing on what your tasks are and focusing even on just the practicalities of what you might need to do to get yourself settled into university. But as part of that planning, I would also factor in fun time. You always need to give yourself permission to enjoy the experience, because it is such an amazing time to be thinking about enriching your life and having the next 3 or 4 years learning. But you can learn through play. You can learn by having fun. You can learn by meeting new friends and new people. So enjoy the process as much as you can.
As we often say, the classic line, fail to prepare, prepare to fail. But remember, the more complex the mind, the greater the need for the simplicity of play. So I'll throw that in there. Yeah, well, yeah, just the latter one, of course, comes from the Shore Leave episode of Star Trek. I just thought I'd throw that in there.
I learn so much.
Well, there we are. You see, I mean, there are other radio stations that probably, you know, they loved it, but we like to feel we provide a bit more added value, Lucy. Just a little bit more added value.
Added Star Trek. It's what we all need on a Wednesday.
Jodie, any other sort of point you wanted to make?
Yeah, obviously, I'm guessing you must have gone back to university as a mature student to do your...
Very mature.
Psychology. I mean, I'm now 33 and
I thought you were 65, Jodie.
Nice. Most people think I'm about 24. Yeah, I think I have aged a little bit, you know.
The show does that to you.
One of Alex's classes, but yeah, anyway. You know, how... I mean, I guess, you know, I'm 33. I'm doing my American Studies degree because I spent 12 years working for the health service, and I decided that I had to do something with my life that I wanted to do. And, you know, I want to be a writer now. I want to have some kind of career that involves writing. And, you know, to hear from somebody like yourself who, you know, has been back to university and done sort of a further degree, and you know, you're doing what you love now, that's, you know, that's
inspiring.
It is very inspiring for me, because I think, yes, there's a chance, you know, if I can keep going, then, you know, I will get to be doing what I love doing.
Oh, totally. Yes, I mean, I think it sounds like in the last couple of years you've had those conversations with yourself in which you said, well, what do I really want out of life? There is only this one life, so I may as well make the most of it. It's a brave decision to sort of change direction, because we're all creatures of habit and we get, you know, very nicely sucked into our comfort zone. But the rewards are just so, the emotional rewards are so great, eventually knowing that you're doing something that you adore.
See, there we are. We can have that. Lucy Beresford, psychotherapist and inspiration to the next generation. Anyway, Lucy, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic chat with us today on the Midweek Drive?
Tremendous.
Well, you know, I always like to feel we keep the balance going. A little name check for ISFX correspondent Richard Edwards, of course, the deputy editor of the whole thing. If you stick online, we'll give you even more routines. If you have a chance to listen to us, sirenonline.co.uk, and we'll throw in a few Lucy Beresfordisms, I'm sure, before the end of the show, basically.
Wonderful.
So the next crucial question is, can we look forward to connecting with you again in the not-too-distant future?
I look forward to that very much.
Lucy Beresford, she shall return. A quick reminder, of course, the website to go to all magical things as far as Lucy Beresford is concerned is, strangely enough, www.lucyberesford.com.